Well, good afternoon. This is the first Sunday. Anil is experimenting on me this time. When we see the videos like this, especially on this day, as we celebrate Memorial Day, we see God. He's passionate about freedom and justice. And as we look at this chapter today, Amos chapter 2, we see God is so passionate, thank you, about this concept of freedom and justice. So it's been almost more than 12 years I'm in US, and I have changed a lot. I have changed a lot theologically. Okay, I changed a lot my views, perspectives. So I want to make this message as more of speaking to you, talking to you straightforward, eye to eye, and discussing about the very important issues that we go through, especially as Christians. So I came to know the Lord in 1991. It's almost 25 years back. So I have the days from the Word of God, bringing out, especially during the worship times, how the Lord leads us. Those are the top pinnacle things. We never thought about it, and God brings it out, and how God leads. So with that experience of 25 years of experience, Christian experience, coming from a non-Christian background. Okay. So I want to give my best to the chapel this afternoon. From Amos chapter 2. So as we look at the prophets in the Old Testament, looking at the prophecy, it has gone through so much change as if you look at from Genesis to as it comes to major and minor prophets. It has gone through the prophecy, the idea of prophecy itself changed. The idea of prophecy itself morphed. If I can say, who is the first prophet in the Old Testament? Going back in the scripture, in Jude, it's written, Enoch, he prophesied first time. Even we can say, Adam himself prophesied. But here, scripturally, we can say, Enoch prophesied. And afterwards, fast forward, we see Samuel being a prophet. Okay. And we see several prophets coming into the picture. And especially when the kingdom divided to northern kingdom and southern kingdom, Israel and Judah, the prophets, God sending prophets. So when we look at the first time Enoch prophesying, he's prophesying about the Savior to come, and as the scripture moved on, as the prophecy, the whole spectrum changed, God sending people to northern kingdom, to Judah, prophesizing. So it has changed so much. So why I'm telling that is, I'm going to challenge the Western Wake Bible Chapel elders and others as well, to see the scripture in a bigger way, to see the things that I have not seen earlier. I was not challenged when I was growing in a chapel. It's more of elementary things that we are taught. Okay. And of course, we used to have several conferences where Old Testament prophets, the minor and major prophets were taught. But overall, it's a great experience, great learning for me in the past several months. So, coming to Amos chapter 2, last week Mr. Peck gave a wonderful test, wonderful introduction. I suggest and I implore you to listen to that message. I heard about 7 to 8 times that message. So with that background, chapter 2, Amos chapter 2, what is that we can learn from chapter 2 this afternoon? It's around 650 or 750 years BC. And what is it that to me? What is it that to me, living in 2018 in Apex, okay, with wonderful people encouraging me and strengthening me, and what is it that to us as families, as moms? Okay, it happened so much BC before Christ. What is it that to me today? That's how I look at the scripture. Okay, so God speaks to us through his people, moving us, as we read in 1 Peter, as we read in 2 Peter. Let me read that once again. It's written here, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit carried along means it's not keeping the human beings untouchable from the revelation of God, like typical in Islam, okay, where prophet, he was completely untouched by God. It's like he is not in touch with God. What I meant is, God took him, he was not under control of himself, but God gave him visions and dreams. He was not, it's like God took him in trance. But here we see the biblical prophecy, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along, as they were moved, as they were inspired." God used them. God used their personalities, their historical context. So many things God used them as they are. That's why, biblically, the person, God doesn't change the persons, but he uses them through their personality. So that's the beauty of how God works with humanity. That's why it is called, we are fellow workers with God. Okay. We are fellow workers. We work along with him. Here we see Amos prophesizing not only within Judah and Jerusalem, but he is prophesizing about other nations. That's an amazing thing. Okay. So God, being a God of entire humanity, God is not only concerned about Judah and Jerusalem, Israel, but he is concerned about other nations. That's a very different thought, right? Think about Jonah. He is sending Jonah to Nineveh, which is not a Jewish nation. So we should see God as an international God. God as an international God. There was a book sometime back. It's called "The World is Flat." But in God's sight, everybody is precious. Everybody is precious, especially as Christians, as I heard sometime back, we should be global. We should be global and local. So we should see here Amos, God bringing out this burden or the vision to Amos. And he has to go to the northern part, from southern part, he has to go. And we see that as we go further, he goes to Israel, and he was rejected there. As we go through that, we can observe. So there are three nations here, or three groups of people. Amos brings out the prophecy. One is in chapter 2, Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Moab and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment, because he burned to lime the bones of the kingdom of Edom. One is about Moabites, Moab. Coming from Lot, right? Moab, Moabites. And the second one is Judah, verse 4. Thus says the Lord, 3 transgressions of Judah. And verse 6, thus says the Lord, 3 transgressions of Israel. So as we see the bigger picture of God, and God is working among nations, think about you got a call from NBA team saying that next year you will be part of Golden State Warriors. It's like how is it possible? Or Cavaliers. So when you're part of a team, think about, or you got a call from DC saying that you have to be part of Apex development team. Okay. So it's a privilege. It's a great responsibility. And from this chapter, I wanted to bring out, how can we part of what God is doing in this world? Okay. How can we be part of what God is doing in this world? So being a mom, okay, being a student going to Wake Tech, okay, being a student in high school, so being a young girl celebrating your birthday. So how can we be part of that big thing, the great thing God is working throughout in this world? How can we be the part of? How can we be part of what God is doing in this world? So that's the question that I want to address that. How can I be a part? Say I'm going to get retired. Okay. But can I be a part of the part of what God is doing in this world? So maybe I have they call free nest. Kids have gone. Can I be still part of what God is doing? I have kids. I cannot handle them. It's very difficult. Okay. So I have to take care of them. I'm with full responsibility. But still, can I be part of what God is doing in this world? What is that God is doing in this world? 3 things I want to give this evening. 3 ways how we can be part of what God is doing in this world from this chapter 2. Okay. Number 1, we see opening verses, thus says the Lord. Right? Thus says the Lord. Verse 4, thus says the Lord. And verse 6, thus says the Lord. So the number 1 is, we must hear and proclaim what God says. If you want to be a part of what God is doing in this world, the number 1 is, we must hear and proclaim what God says. So here we see, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Verse 6, thus says the Lord. So can we tell that? Thus says the Lord. For example, I came from California to Apex. Can I say, thus says the Lord? Murali, you went from California to North Carolina. Can I say that? So the question of how God speaks to us. Okay. How God speaks to us. This is a very, very fascinating subject, especially as we are looking at the prophecy, the Old Testament, minor prophets. How does God speak to us? How does He? Have you ever thought about it? How does God speak to us? Let me tell you honestly, being a minority, in a country is different from being a majority in a country. What does it mean? Being a Christian in India as a minority, coming to US, Christians being majority, there is a huge thought process of jumping from year to year. I want you to understand this. How does God speak to us? When you ask a non-Christian, he doesn't have a concept of God. He doesn't know who God is. He gives different answers. But here, Amos telling that, thus says the Lord, 21st century Christians, how do we understand that? How does God speak to us? So, if you ask that question, right, we give, these are the answers. Number one, God speaks to us through visions and dreams. Right? God spoke to Joseph through vision and dreams. To Daniel, yes, God speaks to through visions and dreams. And God speaks through angels. Angels appearing and bringing the message from God. And even further, we say God speaks to us through creation. God as a creator, when you look at the creation, what God has made as a design, we see God speaks to us through creation. And even we say God speaks to us through circumstances, isn't it? Through circumstances, God spoke to us, like that they say. Through circumstances. And even further, we say, God speaks to us through still small voice. Okay. These are the things that I heard from preachers when I accepted the Lord. That's why I want to put out my complete burden before you. What is that God speaking to us? How does it shape our Christian life? And even further, God speaks to us through people, okay, through messages like this. When famous preachers come, when they give the altar call, so many people, they came to the ministry, right? Like that. Okay. God speaks through people. And even there is a very nice way. God speaks to us through scriptures, through the word of God, which is a very solid thing. So, but with all these things, when you see visions, dreams, angels, creation, impressions, circumstances, speaking small voice through people, in all these things, I see if we are not standing on the scripture, it's an easy way to go into non-Christian way of understanding God speaking. All these things, visions, dreams, angels, creation, everything is possible through Eastern mysticism. Eastern mysticism, it's easy. All these things are mentioned. That's why when I came to know the Lord, when I was trying to look out or praying for my partner, there was so much confusion. There was so much confusion that one preacher came and he said, you take the 100 coconuts. You break all the 100 coconuts. Only one coconut will fit in to one part. Like that, you have to search for your partner. Think about, as a young person coming from a non-Christian background, how can I get to that sharp decision? And we go into the cycle saying that, hey, you have to go into the God still small voice. Oh, that is at least better. Okay. So, and further it goes, you have to get counseling from people. See, all these things are, they're so important scripturally, they are there, but easily they can be they can misguide us. That's what is my point. And here we see when Amos was mentioning, thus says the Lord, it is coming from God. And now, 21st century, how do we be sure that it is coming from God? See, if this is not resolved properly, when we go out of churches, they don't get resolved this type of very hard questions. How is it possible? So, what is the sure shot of God speaking to us? That's what. And beautifully in the scripture, let's go into the Hebrews chapter 1, what we have read. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1, 2. You see here, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed as the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. So looking at this verse, it's a very powerful verse. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets in many times, in many ways. In many ways He spoke to our fathers. And in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Through His Son, He gave a clear prophecy, a clear heart of God, who God is, through His Son. So with this, the complete what God wants us, how we have to worship Him, everything has been revealed through His Son. That's the ultimate revelation from God, prophecy from God. And we see here, as Jesus came into this world, and it has been sustained by apostles, it is sustained by prophets, and it was written completely, the scripture, and it is given to us. And going back in 2 Peter, what we have read, here we see, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, this is my well-beloved Son, with whom I am pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice coming from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. Verse 19, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So we see here, Peter is mentioning, we have more confirmed word, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention. So let's give attention to the word of God, not to the human teaching, not to the teachings of traditions. I want to tell you, I was thinking, I am seeing so much advanced West, especially in terms of scripture, in terms of understanding. How come India has not gone to that level? Because I can talk internationally, right? Because Amos was also international prophet. How come? It's because the teaching was it has not come out. People were not challenged. Okay. When the word of God comes, surrendering our lives, keeping our traditions away, and adhering to the scripture, that is the one that changes our lives. That is where we can be partakers of what God is doing in this world. Okay. That's how we can be a part of what God is doing in this world. Okay. By hearing and proclaiming what God says. Okay. What God says. And in verse 11 and 12 in Amos chapter 2, it's written, I raised up some of your sons for prophets and some of your young men for Nazarites. It is to Israelites. And the prophecy is to Israelites. And he tells them, I raised some of your sons for prophets and some of your young men for Nazarites. Is it not indeed so, O people of Israel, declares the Lord. And what happened? But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophet, saying, you shall not prophesy. So you shall not prophesy. You shall not tell what God says. You add something. You add your culture. You add your whatever it is. But you shall not prophesy. I remember when I accepted the Lord at the age of tender 19, I don't know anything. I invited my brother. Okay. After my message, okay, when we went home, he commented on my message so much, so bad, that I was so much discouraged. So here we see God, he wants to send out his message, but these people, they said, you shall not prophesy. Okay. So going back, our question of how can we be part of what God is doing in this world? How can I be a part of that? Okay. So I mentioned, we must hear and proclaim what God says. Okay. It's not only about local, it's about global too. Okay. In the sense, it's not only about church, it's about outside church too. How about that? It's not only about thinking inside, but thinking outside. See, for example, here we are in this area. So many nationalities are here, right surrounding us. So how can I take this message, God's message, to other nations? How is it possible? How can I take it? It's so challenging, right? We are stuck. My family, I have to take care of kids, my job, which is very important. God has put us, it is very important responsibilities. But how do we be part of his work in this world? How can we be part? So unless we are convinced that God speaks to us, God has a message, God has a good news, and taking to outside. How can I be mold? How can I? It's very difficult, right? How can I mold my culture? How can I mold my pronunciation itself, just for a, how can I make sense to other nationalities? Okay. So many times, right, as Christians, we are so much inward focused. But I praise God, God has kept us in the New Testament principles where we have teachers, we have evangelists. Okay. Teachers looking inside, evangelists looking outside. It's a body principle. Okay. So really getting that view of God reaching out to nations. And here we see the first prophecy to Moab. He mentions, for three transgressions of Moab and for four I will not revoke the punishment, because he burned to lime the bones of the king of Edom. 1 Kings chapter 3, it was mentioned. The Moabites, they have a tradition of giving their own children as a sacrifice burning them on the walls. And here we see, regarding the king of Adam, he burned to lime the bones of the king of Adam. See, their view of human dignity, their view of human dignity, God wants to address that. God wants to give a message to them. So now, as Christians, we have to think, does God handle nations like in the Old Testament? It's a big question. How does God handle? But I think we have an understanding that we shall be witnesses to people. Okay. Think about even to Judah and Israel, when God brings them, God makes them their own people, it is not for their own sake. See, the reason that God calls Israel is that they should be the witnesses. Isn't it? I will read one verse from Isaiah chapter 43. It's a very interesting verse. It changed my perspective a little bit in chapter 43. Verse 10. Or even we can go to verse 9. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witness to prove them right, and let them hear and say it is true. Verse 10. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. See, the very purpose of God choosing Israelites is that they'll be his witnesses. You remember in Acts what he says, you shall be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, and uttermost parts of the world. See, how God's intention, I want you to think about how God thinks from the scriptural. Okay. So, when we think about how God speaks to us, many times we brought all these things, impressions, all those things, but we never think through his character. God speaks to us through his character. Because he's passionate about freedom, he's passionate about justice, he's passionate about people he has made in his own image. So, I think we have to be really consider this aspect, how we can be part of what God is doing in this world. We must hear and proclaim what God says, and we must become global. We must really understand God's heart. And verse 4, we see here about Judah. And it mentioned, because they have rejected the law of the Lord and they have not kept his statutes. So how can we be part of what God is doing in this world? How to learn rejection for the scripture? As God's people, as church, how can we learn to handle this rejection? And we see the very next verse, and they have not kept his statutes. So by trusting and obeying, we can be part of God's doing in this world. The number one is, we must hear and proclaim. Number two is, by trusting and obeying, we can become partakers of what God is doing in this world. You can be whoever you are. You can be a farmer, you can be a software engineer, you can be a retired, you can be a missionary. You can be, we have to get into that groove. We have to get along what God is doing. We have to align ourselves what he wants to do through us. And third one, to the Israelites, it says, verse 8, because they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, those who trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and turn aside the way of the afflicted,
A man and his father go into the same girl so that my holy name is profaned. They lay themselves down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. And in the house of their God, they drink the wine of those who have been fined.
Look at the justice system, the morality of what's going on in the Israelites, in the kingdom of Israel.
And further, it says, as we read in 11 and 9, I raised up some of your sons for prophets and some of your young men for Nazarites.
Think about this. When God wants to raise his people, prophets and Nazarites, who is the Nazarite? He's separated for God's work. He's separated for God's work. See, as parents, how can we think our kids be separated for God's work in this 21st century? How does it work?
And we see here, the third, how can we be part of what God is doing in this world is by raising up and building next generation. By raising up and building. So I want to tell, can we give our life for 10 to 12 people? Building them up, raising them up. Can we disciple each one of us, 10 to 12 people, in our lifespan? Here we see what an amazing, you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets saying, you shall not prophesy. Okay. See, Nazarites, they're drunk with wine, but we, what we have to do? Our future generation, they must be filled with the Spirit of God. As we have studied, the Spirit-filled life, fruit of the Spirit. We must see people being raised, having that vision, what God has, having that burden of what God has. So it's an invitation for all of us this evening to really expand our thoughts, to have that heart of God in our lives. See, as we are body of his, as we are his body, having his hands, having his ears, having his heart. So let's be part of what God is doing in this world. Let's be part of what God is. Historically, we can see 50 years, 100 years down the line, if Lord tarries, our imprint can be there. Our imprint in Apex can be there. They can look back and see, hey, 50 years back, 100 years back, this is the person, okay, through whom these are all the blessings we have received. This is the church, local church, through whom we have seen these blessings. Can we be such type of people of God where we can think beyond, where we can think like how God thought? So with these verses, let's close. I will pray. Next week, there is a chapter 3. Hopefully, I will be covering that if God gives the opportunity. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful book, completely filled with prophecies. Lord, we want to understand more and more. We want to apply that to our lives. Lord, we pray that thou might help us to see how we can be partakers of your work in this world. Open our hearts and minds. Dear Father, give us that heart and commitment, conviction to follow you, to apply your word in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this book as we go through this book of Amos. We pray that thou might speak to us. Revive us, O God. Lord, give us that vision, what you have. We want your heart. We want to have your heart in our lives, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.